Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Lake Forest Church podcast. Lake Forest is in Huntersville, North Carolina. We try to be a place that's safe for people who've given up on church but not on God. Hope you enjoy this message. If you want to find out more about us, you can check us out at www.lakeforest.org. Thanks.
That's what we will do this morning. We will open up another door in our series called Open Doors. My name is Mitch White. I'm one of the pastors here at Lake Forest. If I've not gotten to meet you, I'm excited to be with you this morning. We are in our series called Open Doors, and we are focusing on various responses that people have to Jesus when they encounter him. And so far in this series, we've looked at a skeptic who met Jesus and came to a place of faith. And we've also looked at a man who had deep troubles all of his life, demon-possessed, heavy-duty troubles, and he meets Jesus and there's healing, and then he goes on to tell others about what Jesus has done. And because we believe that Jesus is still alive today, and because we believe that God's Word still applies to us today, we also find that right here that we can have the same responses, that we are also called to look at Jesus and to respond to him. The truth is that you can respond to Jesus in a million different ways. And your response to him can change over time, especially after you encounter him for the first time or in a fresh way. And so the main question of our Open Doors series is simple. How will you respond to Jesus? It comes out of Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them and they with me." So my question for us this morning is, how will you respond to this Jesus? And this morning we're going to look at another person. We're going to look at a woman and her response this morning to who Jesus is. And so if you have your Bibles, your iPad, your iPhone, whatever it is you pull up the Bible on, if you would turn to Luke chapter 8, and that's where we're going to spend our time this morning. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Now, Luke is one of my favorite gospel accounts. Every year, Luke is one of those gospels that I'll go back in and I'll dig in and I'll read. And right now, that's where I'm spending my daily time with Jesus, is looking through Luke. And so I want to share with you this morning one of many stories that I've enjoyed sitting in, but one of my favorites that I've enjoyed sitting in. Now, there are going to be times that you'll notice at Lake Forest that we'll ask you to stand as we read God's Word. And part of the reason we do that is just to say to God, we honor your Word. This is your Word, and we want to read it by standing before you. But there are other times that we'll invite you to not stand, but to just be seated. And this morning is one of those times I want to ask you to just be seated in this way, not saying that we don't want to honor God's Word, but I want you to sit and find yourself in this story. So as I read this story to you, that's my challenge to you. I want to ask you, find yourself in this story. We're in Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Let me read this to us. "Now when Jesus returned, there was a crowd that welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. And then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, he came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. 'Who touched me?' Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, 'Master, the people, they're crowding and they're pressing against you.' But Jesus said to Peter, 'Peter, someone touched me, and I know that power has gone out from me.' Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, she came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And then he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. So go in peace.' While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. 'Your daughter is dead,' he said. 'Don't bother the teacher anymore.' And hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, 'Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed.'" Now, I'm going to leave the rest of the story for you to later on today to go back and read and find out the conclusion of that. But I want to spend some time now. I want to help us get our hands around this. And again, helping us figure out, where am I in this story? Jesus has just returned from across the lake, and where he had been healing this man that Michael talked to you guys about last week, this demon-possessed man. And so he's just healed him, and he's come back across the lake, and he comes back into a territory that he's been in, and they're there welcoming him. They're waiting for him. They're excited. There's this large crowd around waiting for him. Now, there are a lot of people in this crowd, and I want to describe some of these people that were in this crowd. One person, or a type of person that was in this crowd, there were many of them that were there, and they were just excited to be a part of the crowd. They were there with everybody else, and they were just excited to be a part of this crowd. They had heard the stories of Jesus. They had seen the crowd. They decided they wanted to be included. Just being in the crowd kind of for them meant that they were connected to Jesus. See, there's something amazing about when you're in a crowd around somebody that's famous, that for some reason it kind of makes you feel even more important and more worth just because you're in the crowd. A number of years ago, my wife and I went up to New York City for just a fun time together. And we were walking down the back alley toward the David Letterman show. And there's a back door entrance, and we see the small crowd that's there. And so we stop and we ask, and we find out that Drew Barrymore is about to get there. Sweet. E.T. girl, grown up, Charlie's Angel lady. You know, let's stick around. Let's hang out. We're going to see Drew Barrymore. Hour and a half later, we find out in New York time that they are actually, and soon means a long time. And so an hour and a half later, we're waiting, and the crowd gets bigger, and we're there, and Drew Barrymore pulls up. And I see her. I actually lean on her car. I'm there. I see her, and we leave. And then I mean, we see her for like 10 seconds, and we leave, and I'm calling everybody. I saw Drew Barrymore. We get back from New York City. I saw Drew Barrymore. You'd have thought that I just spent the whole weekend with Drew Barrymore, by the way that I was telling this story. And it was wonderful. I was part of the crowd. But the truth is, in reality, I didn't touch her. She didn't touch me. I didn't meet her. She didn't meet me. She didn't say anything to me. She didn't look at me. She didn't even know I was in the crowd. But I touched her car, and I saw her. And so it was good. I felt like I'm in on it. See, in this crowd that's following Jesus, I believe that there were many people in this crowd who thought they were in on it because I'm part of the crowd. And so some were in this crowd with others that have met Jesus, but they were just glad to be in the crowd. That was one group. Now, there were others that were there in this crowd. They were like Jairus. Jairus was a guy who had a lot of things working out right for him in life. He was a synagogue leader. He was kind of the local pastor, that things were working out well until this major crisis hit. There's a major crisis that has hit his life. His daughter, 12 years old, is dying. And so he's there, and he's the right person to be in the crowd. That's why the crowd is gathering, because they want Jesus to do a miracle, a healing. And so some are there to watch him do healings, and others are there because I need for you to do a miracle, Jesus. And so Jairus fit this bill, and he was able to get through this crowd and to convince Jesus to come to his house, partly because he was a synagogue leader and people were like, let him come through. The other part of it is because no one in their right mind would have wanted a 12-year-old girl to die if Jesus could have healed her. And so Jairus is there longing for Jesus to do a miracle because of this crisis in their life. And so some were in the crowd because crisis had hit their lives, and they needed a miracle to happen. Now, there were others that were in this crowd, and they had already been healed by Jesus. They knew him. They met him. They're following him. People like Peter. Peter is there because he knows that Jesus can heal Jairus, and he's there because he wants to help Jesus get to his mission, to accomplish the things that Jesus is there for. And so Peter is there with him to help him get to Jairus' house. And that's why he's a little surprised when Jesus stops and says, somebody touched me. And Peter's response is, Master, come on. You know, everybody's touching you. They're all bumping up into you. We got to get to what's most important. Let's go to Jairus' daughter. She's dying. She needs to be healed. So let's go to the bigger. Let's go to the more important thing. But Peter's heart was that I want Jesus to touch others. I want to introduce him to others. I want to be a part of this mission. So there are many in this crowd that knew the healing power of Jesus, and they wanted others to know it too. But then there's another. There's one who sneaks through the crowd. And I'm not even sure you could say they were a part of the crowd as much as you could say they were in the crowd. A woman that didn't know Jesus. She wasn't positive he would heal her, but she was going to do everything she could to find out. A woman that had been bleeding for 12 years. And she had tried everything she could to find healing. She had spent every dime she had, and nothing was working. She tried doctors, magicians, prayers, synagogue, rituals, herbal teas, diets, sorcery, witchcraft, Bleeders Anonymous. She even went to Barnes & Noble and bought all the self-help books. Nothing was fixing what was going on here. And this woman thought, I just need to touch him. Not bother him, not interrupt him, not slow him down. I just want to touch him. And she does. Well, actually, what she touches, she doesn't even touch him, she touches his clothing. And instantly, she is healed. The thing that she had battled for 12 years, instantly, it was gone. And then she slips away into the crowd. But Jesus stops. He stops and he pauses on his way to heal a girl that everyone knew was about to die. Rush to her. That's the greater work. That's more important. That's more critical. But he stops and he declares out loud, "Who touched me?" And everybody's denying, "I didn't touch him. Did you touch? I didn't touch him." And part of they're afraid in the sense that's the famous guy. You don't touch the famous guy. He's moving. "I didn't touch you." And Peter looks at his master and says, "But Jesus, there are hundreds crowding up on us here. Someone bumped into you. There are a lot of people. There are a lot of people bumping into you, Jesus." And Jesus says, "No, there's something different. This person didn't bump into me. They reached out to me. They didn't just stumble into me. They were longing for me." Jesus knew there was something different. There was a woman that had been bleeding for 12 years. An outcast. Unclean. Jewish law declares in Leviticus 15 that this woman is unclean. Jairus, the synagogue leader, would have been the one who had said, "She is unclean." And the law says that if she is unclean and she touches anyone that is unclean, they too will become unclean. She didn't belong in this crowd. She wasn't allowed in this crowd. She was isolated because anyone in the crowd that she touched would become unclean. And so she used the crowd to hide from the crowd to hopefully find healing in Jesus. And so I know one person in that crowd was using the crowd to hide from the crowd to hopefully find Jesus for healing. And this woman, she wasn't like many who were standing there just happy to be a part of the crowd. She wasn't happy being a part of the crowd. She wasn't like Jairus who had a crisis. This was not a crisis in her life. This was her life. This is all she has known for 12 years. This is all she has known. So that's our crowd. And again, because we believe that God's word is alive and Jesus is alive today, I got to believe that just like those people in the crowd, there are people right here just like that. And so I'll bet you that some of you are here this morning just because it's good to be in the crowd. I like coming to church on Sunday mornings. Isn't that what you're supposed to do on Sundays? You're supposed to go to church. And you're here because that's what the crowd does. Or you're here because, you know, I see some cool things happening in Lake Forest. I want to be a part of that. You know, I want to be in on that. But you're in on it and you've been back here. Some of you, you've been here for a while in the crowd. But you've been at distance from Jesus. You've been a part of the crowd for a while. But you know, truthfully, honestly, in your heart, that you've never trusted Him. You've never had dinner with Him. You've never met Him. But you've been in the crowd, and you've been okay with that. But I pray this morning, I pray that you would open this door in faith, that maybe for the first time this morning, you would open that door and you'd say, Jesus, I'm tired of just being a part of the crowd. I want to open this door. I invite you to come in. And I pray that this morning in faith, you might do that. Now, I believe there are also some that are part of this crowd because there's a huge crisis that has hit your life. There's a huge thing that's in your life that is just screaming, Jesus, if you don't get here soon. I want to just tell you what the last couple of months, just encounters that I've had over the last couple of months of crisis that you're walking through. Places I've met with people and walked up in. Many jobs lost, a lost home, a spouse that said they want a divorce, an elementary daughter having to have brain surgery, a man tearing both ACLs, can't go to work for 6 weeks, a brother committed suicide, a parent died, a daughter checked into a psychiatric ward, a spouse caught in an affair, a spouse caught lying about money, a son arrested for underage drinking, a class that was failed, a fiancé decided to call off the wedding, and a friend that some of you care deeply about and respect deeply decides to move away. Crisis. This jar is filled with all the stickers that you guys came to these stations last week and filled out and said, this is what's broken in my life, and Jesus, I'm choosing to trust you. Filled an amazing amount of places in life that are saying, Jesus, would you come? And some of you, you're here, you're trusting that Jesus would do a miracle in your life. And you're like Jairus, you're begging, Jesus, would you come quickly? Would you hurry? You're saying, Jesus, there's this door of opportunity for healing to happen in my life. And if you don't get here quick, it's going to shut. And you're crying out and you're longing for Jesus to heal. And I pray with you that you would see Jesus do a miracle in your life. But more importantly, I pray that you would hear the words that he said to Jairus. Don't be afraid. Just believe and you'll be healed. But you got to understand what Jesus was saying to Jairus as well is that my healing may look different than what you're expecting. And Jairus, you're going to have to wait on me as well. And so there are places that we want Jesus to bring healing. And he's saying, don't be afraid, but you're going to have to wait. Trust him. Trust him. Now, there are many of you, I know, that are here in this crowd as well because you love Jesus. You are following him. You have seen him do a great healing in your life. And your longing is you want others to know that healing. And so you're like Peter. You want to introduce others. And so my challenge to you, see, that's who I find myself being in this crowd as well. And my challenge is that I'm all about Jesus getting to this next big thing. And there are times when Jesus says, I need to stop. Mitch, you need to let this person interrupt your life. I know that looks big, but this is big to me too. And so my challenge to you, if that's you, if you're like Peter, pay attention to him. Don't be about the big that you miss the places where life needs to be interrupted. All these people in this crowd. But there's one that I want to pay the most attention to for the rest of our time together. I'm especially interested this morning in those of you that are here in this crowd and you're hiding from this crowd, just hoping that maybe Jesus would heal you today. And I know that those of you like that are in this crowd, you're struggling with depression and you don't want others to know it. Or there's an addiction that just keeps eating at you and you can't tell anyone. Or there's a sexual preference that haunts and confuses you and you don't dare admit it, especially here. Or there's a marriage that's falling apart and you're continuing to fake it and to act like there's nothing wrong. You're tired of it. You just want it to go away. You just hope that maybe Jesus will do something and it'll stop haunting you. And you're hoping maybe he'll heal it and it'll just go away and then you can slip away. But I want to tell you this morning that Jesus is not interested in just healing you and you just slipping away. He wants more. My favorite verse in this whole passage is verse 47. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. Jesus stops And he persistently cries out to this crowd, "Who touched me?" Why would he do that to this woman? Why would he expose her to this crowd that doesn't accept her and that she's not supposed to be a part of? But he continues to say, "Who touched me?" until she says, "It was me." Why would he do that? I believe the primary reason was for her. Here's a woman that came to Jesus in isolation, completely okay with never being known by him, but just hoping that maybe he would heal her and take this away. A woman that had to live with this gross thing in her life for 12 years, just wanting it, "Please just take it away. If it would go away, then maybe my life will be okay." And this thing that for 12 years has alienated her from friendships, from relationships, imagine being this woman. Imagine that if she weren't married, then this has kept her for 12 years from being married. And if she was married, think of the levels of intimacy that she missed out on with her husband because of this thing. Every day for 12 years, she is seen and reminded that her life is unclean. Every day told that if she touches anyone, then they are unclean. Every day for 12 years, no affection, no love, no touch, no hugs, isolation. Can you imagine? She learned to cope and to make it day by day, but her life was built around a lie about her. "You don't belong. You stay over there. You stay away from us." And that's why these words, when the woman saw that she had not escaped unnoticed, she came trembling and she knelt down before her Jesus. And I got to imagine that what she was trembling about was saying, "I know I don't belong here. I know I'm not supposed to be here in the crowd, but I was just hoping that maybe I could touch you." Because she had gotten so used to not being a part of the lives of these people, her safe place was away from people. She had no one to celebrate with. None of these people were important to her. They had alienated her. They wouldn't care if she had healed, she was healed or not. She was not there to heal the relationship between her and them. She was there because she's sick of this thing going on in her life. But Jesus moves her from isolation to inclusion. And he says to her, "You belong here. You belong here." This woman's healing is a huge deal to Jesus. So huge that he stops moving toward this young girl who needs to be saved from death. He stops and he finds this woman that is hiding, a woman that doesn't want to interrupt him. "I don't want to interrupt you. I know there are more important things that are going on, Jesus. Keep moving toward those." But Jesus stops. And when he stops, he learns that she is worth the stop. When he stops and he looks and speaks to her, he says, "Your story is worth the time for me to stop." And listen to what he says to her. He says, "Daughter, daughter." He doesn't say, "Lady, woman, old lady." He doesn't say, "Sinner." He doesn't say, "Unclean person." He says, "Daughter. My child, one that I adore, one that I'll be interrupted by whenever you want me to be interrupted." Jesus longs for us to reach out to him, to seek him, to interrupt him. He longs to say to you, "You belong. You belong to me." And in these words, he tells her that your faith has healed you. And her faith healed her physical wounds. But the words of Jesus healed her deeper inner wounds. And so he speaks these words in front of this crowd. "You belong." He speaks admiration. And he speaks to this crowd. He says, "She no longer is alienated. She belongs to me and she belongs to you. She is a part of this community." So I believe the second reason he didn't let her go is because he wanted this crowd to see this woman is not an outcast. She is a child of the God of the universe. And for 12 years, you have treated her as if she was dead. You have treated her as if she is unclean and outcast. And I say to you, she belongs to me. This is my daughter. Her faith has made her well. And right there in the middle of this crowd, she tells her story. See, there's life in being able to tell our stories. But most of us, we're just afraid to tell our stories because of the shame. And we focus on the shame and the ugliness. And Jesus says, no, your story is about my healing. Now, lastly, I believe that Jesus didn't let her slip away for you and me. This morning, some of you, for the first time, you need to hear that Jesus calls you daughter or son. My prayer is that you would embrace how powerful those words are. For the God of the universe to say that you are His child, it lets you not care. I don't care what everybody else thinks. The God of the universe calls me daughter or son. Now, I'll let you read the rest of the story, but here's what's important. Jesus goes on to heal this 12-year-old girl. He goes on to actually raise this 12-year-old girl up from the dead. And it's interesting to look how Luke records the story of this dying 12-year-old girl right along beside this woman that's had this bleeding for 12 years. In the same way that Jairus comes and pleads to Jesus, "Would you heal my daughter?" Jesus pleads to the crowd, "Who touched me?" Jesus had a daughter that for 12 years had been dead. And so that day He actually raised two daughters from the dead. And there's so many that will sneak into the church because you don't think that the church wants anything to do with you. And sadly, that's the impression that the church has put off many times. And I am sorry. I am so sorry. Because I know you are here because you're just hoping that maybe today Jesus would finally take this thing away. And I pray that you have seen Jesus today. I pray that you will know that He can and He does heal things that eat at our lives for years. I've watched it. I've watched Him heal countless times. And I pray that you will hear these words in the presence of all of these people. Jesus saying to you, daughter, son, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Michael Flake told us last week that faith is trusting God and putting our lives in God's hands, giving Him control of our lives by asking Him to be the center of our lives. And so I really believe that those words that Jesus spoke to that woman really apply to that entire crowd that was there. For the one that you just want to be in the crowd, it's your faith that opens the door for you to meet Jesus and to know Him. For those that are in crisis, it's your faith that enables you to wait on Him as He heals. For those of you who know Jesus and you know that He will heal, it's your faith that will lead others to faith. And for those of you like this woman, it is your faith that has healed you. Go in peace. So I want to ask you, did you find yourself in this story today? Who are you in this? How will you respond to the words of Jesus? How will you respond to the healing of Jesus? As we close this morning, I want to give you some practical ways to respond to Jesus. For the next several minutes, we're going to worship together. And in our time of worshiping together, we've got four stations, each corner of the sanctuary. As we worship, I'd love for you to physically get up out of your chair. If you're comfortable doing that, or if you're not comfortable, get up because God is calling you to go and move. But in this time of worship, I'm going to invite you to come to one of these tables. And when you come, you're going to grab a piece of cloth to symbolize the cloth of Jesus that this woman touched. And when you take this cloth, I pray that you might kneel at that table as the woman kneeled, and you would talk with Jesus. For those of you who are just in the crowd and you've been comfortable for a long time being in the crowd, I want to encourage you during that time to say to Jesus, "I'm tired of just being a part of the crowd. Jesus, I open the door that you've been knocking on. Would you come in? I want to know you. I don't want to just say I was a part of the crowd. For those of you in crisis, that you have for a long time been saying, I wish this would go away, this crisis thing, this thing that's haunting your life, would you come to the table and would you also pray, Jesus, take this away? But Jesus, in faith, I ask that you would help me to be patient with you. For those of you who know Jesus, who've been following him, who are all about, I want to help others to know him, would you come, grab a piece of cloth, and would you kneel and say, Jesus, who is it that I need to be interrupted by this week? But especially those of you who've been hiding from this crowd, would you come? Would you come and kneel before Jesus, and would you hear him say the words to you, daughter or son, you have been healed. Go in peace. So as you come, take a piece of cloth, pray. But then when you're done praying, there's a Sharpie right there. And you can do this now or you can do this a little bit later. But would you just take and would you write on there, son or daughter, your faith has healed you. And then would you just take this away? And would you just hold on to this as long as Jesus needs for you to hold on to that? So let me pray for us as we come and we worship together. Father, this morning I am so grateful. So grateful for the story of this woman. A true story of someone who encountered you, Jesus, that you touched, that you said you belong. And so, Father, I pray that this morning as we continue to worship together, that you would continue to speak words of healing. As we continue to respond to you, I pray that doors of faith would be open. And I pray, Jesus, that we would know your healing in new ways. So would you do the work that only you can do as we continue to worship this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.